O God, take our lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and fill them with love for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. We know the story so well. We've heard it 1,000 times. In fact, the Good Samaritan feels almost like a member of the family, a close friend, without ever being told his name. We know almost every detail of the story, and we could tell it to ourselves quite simply. And it's one of those stories that doesn't just belong within the walls of faith, but actually resides outside these walls too. In the province of Ontario, there are the Good Samaritan laws that are there to encourage bystanders to become involved in a moment of emergency when somebody has been incapacitated or whose life is in peril. And the laws are designed to protect the bystander who gets involved in case something goes wrong and they are sued. In Churchland, somewhere in almost every place of worship, there is a picture of the Good Samaritan. And if you've spent enough time in this building, you've spotted him. And I'll give you a hint. The Good Samaritan is up in the sanctuary, close to the front, on the left-hand side, middle panel, first one on the left. Before you leave today, I invite you to come up and just take a quick look, almost as a picture of meditation. He's the one with the fancy hat. He's the one that we depict as having means. Sometimes when you've heard a story 1,000 times, it becomes soft and gentle around the edges, but what we lose is the provocative nature of how that story would have been told and heard the first time it was told. How scandalous it would have been for the lawyer who just simply asked the question, "Well, who is my neighbor?" It's not that the man stopped. It's that he was a Samaritan. Nowhere in this text do we ever hear the word Good Samaritan. Jesus never refers to him that way. And in fact, the lawyer can't even bring himself to utter the word Samaritan at the end of the story. He simply says, when asked, "Which one was the neighbor?" He says, "The one who showed mercy." Because the Samaritan was the outsider, the one from the other side of the tracks. He was the one who was not to be trusted, not quite measuring up in the eyes of the temple, unclean. And to have as a hero in this story, the Samaritan, you can imagine the ears of the lawyer starting to burn some, because the telling is not unlike the Protestant to the Catholic and the Catholic to the Protestant in Northern Ireland, or the Palestinian to the Jew and the Jew to the Palestinian in the West Bank, or the Rohingya Muslim to the soldier of Myanmar and the soldier to the Muslim. That immediately in the telling there is division and controversy. What makes matters even more difficult in the telling of this story is that two souls who were emblematic of God's love and of God's presence in a community walked on by. The priest and the Levite. It's almost as though in the telling they never even broke stride, just barely looking as they walked by. You can imagine the lawyer's ears crimson red. And I don't know about you, but when I hear that part of the story, my ears burn a little as well. Scholars have long given very fine lists of why the Levite and the priest might have walked by. It may have been that the crooks were still in the bushes. Maybe it was a setup. Maybe they knew that if they were to stop, their life would be in jeopardy. Or maybe if they got his blood on their hands, they would be deemed unclean. Or if the man were dead and they touched his body, they would not be able to practice being a priest in the temple for 21 days. Best just to keep moving along, nothing to see here. Or maybe the reason why they walked by was more mundane. In a now very famous study conducted in 1973, two psychologists took two groups of seminarians. And one group was put in a room and they were asked to reflect on the role of a seminarian and the role of a priest. And then they were sent next door to a different building for part two. The other half of the group was asked to write a reflection on the story of the Good Samaritan, and then they too were sent to another building to do the second portion. But in the middle, between those two buildings, was an alley, and in the alley was a man who looked to be drunk or unconscious. And every time a seminarian walked between the buildings, he coughed, and they noticed him. They wanted to see whether or not reflecting on something theological would in fact entice one to stop and notice and help. And then they added a twist. Half the group was told they had lots of time between the first part and the second part of the test, and the other half were told they were late, they better get on the move. They discovered, in fact, it didn't matter what the seminarians wrote. In fact, all that mattered was that those who had time actually lingered and stopped and helped. And those who were in a hurry didn't. In fact, some of the seminarians walked right over top of the man in the alley. Sometimes it's just being distracted or preoccupied or in a hurry that keeps us from noticing those who have fallen through the cracks. Sometimes I wonder whether or not the church is too busy doing what we're used to doing and fail to see God calling us to stoop low and find the one who has fallen. My challenge for you this week is in an age of distraction, of looking at screens and always constantly picking up a telephone, to actually put it down for 7 days and to begin to notice the distractions that we often live with, and see in those moments perhaps God calling us to see the one who has fallen is actually closer than we think. What makes this story even more scandalous is that Jesus restores not just the telling of the man who had fallen in the ditch, but restores the Samaritan. And the lawyer helps without even knowing it. So who was the neighbor? And the lawyer says, the one who showed mercy. And the word in the text that Luke uses is a word that he uses only in the gospel to describe the heart of God. That in fact what Jesus was saying is that the Samaritan is the one who reflects the compassion and the mercy so extravagant as to not just stop, but to bind up wounds, to pour water and wine, and to take him on his donkey, and to put him up for a few nights, and to make sure that he is restored to fullness of life. And the challenge that he placed before the lawyer was, in just one swoop of a sentence, restoring the outsider to become the insider. The Samaritan is the one who is like God. This story could easily be called simply the Samaritan, or the Muslim, or the refugee, or the gay man, or the lesbian, It could be any moniker that we see outside of ourselves as being different and somehow less than we are. In an age of tribalism where we withdraw from the world and only wish to be with others like us, this gospel calls us to stretch and to see that the one next to us, different though they may be, is made in the image of God as we are. And that one sitting next to you is one who saves your life and you theirs. May God keep us from distraction. May God open our eyes to see the neighbor and the love that we are called to express. Amen.